Will you pray with me? Jesus Christ, born our King and Lord, we, the sheep of your fold, the people of your pasture, ask you to guide our hearts and our minds that we might not go astray, but be where we should be, doing what we should be doing at the moment you call us. We ask this in your very name of the one who came to be the light of the world, from light inaccessible, our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Good morning. Well, that was good. Happy Advent. As our preparations for the Lord's coming concludes in these last couple of days of Advent, on my heart there is sitting this one topic, shepherds and angels. They're just sitting on my heart. And that's a lot of stuff to be sitting on your heart. And with good cause, as the anticipation builds to the arrival of the consolation of Israel and of all of creation. So let's just start with shepherds, shall we? In the great reduction of the simplest terms, shepherds watch over and they tend sheep. According to observations, sheep sometimes do very stupid things and can risk their lives and kill themselves and even risk the lives of the entire flock. In short, sheep are dead without a shepherd. The American humorist Garrison Keillor, in his radio show Prairie Home Companion, he had some interesting observations about sheep and shepherds. As he puts it, the shepherding profession was not a profession that educated people went into. Since King David's day, no king had come from the Judean Shepherds Union 502. It was not that the Judeans called an upwardly mobile career. In short, shepherds were not looked on with esteem by their neighbors. It was not, in that day of Caesar Augustus, considered a high-class job. And that's completely because of the thing that they had to deal with day in and day out. It's because of the sheep. You see, sheep are not high-class animals. From a distance, they may seem okay. And you're looking at them from over there, and they're all white, and they're fluffy, and they're cute. Sheep are fine as long as sheep are doing what sheep want to do. But as soon as you try to get a sheep to do something they don't want to do, I tell you, all the high-class people get out of the profession at that point. And the ones that are left are to be shepherds are the folk who don't have a whole lot of other options, end quote. I didn't say beginning quote, but that was all him. I don't want you to think I'm disparaging shepherds. I'm not. And what I'm trying to say, or what he was trying to say, is that sheep, by their very nature, make shepherding a really tough job. I think Father Chase has a story about that. Hopefully he'll share it when he does the announcements, because it's true. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. But that's selling shepherding a little short. Shepherds need to possess certain talents. For instance, there's an account of a poor Palestinian shepherd boy being tasked with retrieving 7 sheep from a herd of hundreds. According to Dr. Kenneth Bailey, who tells this story in his book, The Good Shepherd, an excellent read if you haven't read it, the boy was told by the official in charge that he could take his 7 sheep, but only his 7 sheep. No more, no less. If more came, you lost them all. If less came, you lost them all. The boy confidently walked into the expanse fenced enclosure. He gave out his call, for he had his nayal, or a sheep's pipe, with him. As the last note sounded, his own separated from the rest of the animals and trotted out after him. The boy was heard to say, "I am a good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." Dr. Bailey goes on to say that shepherding and shepherds is mentioned throughout the Bible over 200 times. God uses shepherds, sheep, and flocks to describe things like the good shepherd, the enemy of the shepherd, the bad sheep, the lost sheep, what a shepherd does when he finds a lost sheep, and what it is to celebrate when the lost sheep are found. God uses the image of the shepherd over and over again. Shepherds are trained by apprenticing. Shepherds apprentice to someone who's already a shepherd. They learn it from someone else who does it. They learn what it is to find good pasture and still waters, safe passage to and safe passage, and to return home safe with their sheep to the ones who have entrusted them, who have entrusted the shepherd's care. Often, the sheep of the flock are not the shepherd's own sheep, and there is an accounting to be given of those who entrust the sheep to the shepherd as he returns. As a shepherd of a flock for a village or a town, you are expected to return with the same number of sheep you went out with, or you'd better have a good explanation for losing one and demonstrate that you did all that you could to try to save that lost sheep. And yet, shepherding is not easy. It can be lonely. And there are times when dangers in the night would make you question this choice of a career. There's lots of responsibilities, lots of risks, lots of expectations. Difficult charges that will scatter at the first sense of hardship or danger. When the wolf comes at night, there are not any accounts of the sheep standing with the shepherd to help defend the ewes and the lambs. There's just no story like that, none. And here we are in Advent, thinking about shepherds. Why shepherds? Our gospel today was the very first piece of scripture I ever memorized. Do you know why? There was this great evangelist in the 60s, mid-60s. His alternate ego for his writings goes by the name of Linus Van Pelt. And the evangelist's name is none other than Charles M. Schulz. He cleverly evangelized me by hiding the good news of Christ's advent in a cartoon that many of you may have seen called A Charlie Brown Christmas. If you haven't seen it, it's a gospel presentation. And let me suggest that it's pretty quiet. It's pretty laid back. No flashy animation. But when Linus takes the stage and in a very unassuming manner proclaims the story of the birth of our Lord, well, it's pretty dead on. The point is, this is the story that changes everything. And there are the shepherds. They're there. Here we are, a group of them, watching their flocks as they sleep by night. It had to be a quiet night, and the sheep had to feel safe, or the beginning of this whole story, this whole piece of the gospel, would have read more like something, there they were, shepherds running around with their dogs, trying to get the sheep to lay back down in the flock and to go to sleep at night. Sheep, when they're disturbed, they scatter. It's got to be quiet. Therefore, we know that the night was still, and that the flocks were at rest. Then an angel appeared there with the shepherds. Maybe it was right in front of them, maybe it was right behind them, but when the angel appeared, there was the glory of the Lord all around. Heaven was touching earth in that field. What was silent and dark became full of light in the presence of heaven. I can only imagine what it smelled like and what it felt like to be in that place at that time. The hard times of a dirty job of shepherding was now bathed in the very presence of heaven. And that was a frightening thing. These kind of situations were never good for the ones who encountered such things. Usually, judgment came next at hand. And these shepherds were filled with fear, absolute fear. Fear for their flocks, fear for their jobs, fear for their lives. I don't know if they fell on their knees or if they just froze. But before they could even think about fight or flight, the angel said to them, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. Behold, listen to me. I bring you good news of great joy. This is for everyone, all the people. For to you, a great gift is given today. Today is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And here is how you will know what you are being told is true. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And before anyone could ask any questions, before any sheep could stir, there was suddenly, where only one angel had been, now a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Wow. We didn't rehearse that. I had no idea. I'm going to tell you right now, it had to sound something like that. It had to be amazing, otherworldly, like nothing else that had ever been heard on earth before. All the stars, all of the heavens, at one time singing out to herald the arrival of the King of all creation, the Son of the living God. And as suddenly as they had come, they were gone. And not a sheep stirred, but all was silent again, or so I guess. Because an event like that would have caused some of the sheep to have had absolute heart attacks and the rest to have scattered, never to have been gathered again. But that's not what happened. The angel went away to heaven like a door closing. And the shepherds said to each other, "We've got to go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And there was no question in their mind, not in the minds of the shepherds, as to who it was that had informed them. There was no doubt it was the Lord who had spoken to them. And so they went to Bethlehem as fast as they could. And they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger, just like the angel said. Lying in a manger. Just so we're clear, Jewish people do not put their babies in mangers. It's just not a practice. It's encouraged. It's frowned upon in some places. And when they saw this great thing, they told the young mother and the father what the angel had told them. And Mary held this memory as a treasure in her heart. She held many things as treasures in her heart. She would need them as ministry later on, some 30 years. They would comfort her. And the shepherds, oh, the shepherds, they didn't just slink back into the field and lay down with their flocks because, well, it had been a long night. Nope. It is written, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds were telling them. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So why shepherds? Not a king in a palace, not to the priests in the rebuilt temple with all the gold and the finery, not to the wise and learned in Jerusalem. God our Father sent his messengers to shepherds faithfully attending their flocks. The psalmist writes, "Let your face shine, that we may be saved." And it's written again, "Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved." This shining in the wilderness of Bethlehem was indeed the salvation of the people of Zion. Simeon in the temple, about 45 days later, he would cry out, "A light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And the light shined on the shepherds, and it broke the darkness. That night, the shepherds were the watchmen who lifted up their voice. I believe they sang for joy as they glorified and they praised God. They had seen eye to eye the return of the Lord of Zion. God's redemption had come, as Isaiah had written. And what did these rough, uneducated sheep herders do? Did they run? Did they consider that this was kind of a personal growth matter in my spiritual life and that I really was going to discuss it? Did they take what they had seen and went bragging to kings and priests that God had selected them to see the great sight, not you? Nope. They freely shared it. They fulfilled the function of the priesthood of all believers. In the membership class called Via Catechesis, we discuss the function of the priest. Adam was created to offer all the world's praises to God and to present all of God's blessing to the world. N.T. Wright says it like this: "The priestly vocation of the priesthood of all believers consists of summing up the praises of creation before the Creator. The vocation, in turn, means reflecting God's wisdom, God's justice, God's blessing to all the world. And look at what the shepherds did. With no training, no specific priestly instruction, with a loving acknowledgement of what God had done with them, to them, through them, they in turn eagerly became the proclaimers of the gospel, the Evangelion. They proclaimed, "Our God reigns," just as Isaiah has written. Again, before John the Baptizer came, the shepherds, moved by their encounter with their loving God, made the infant Son of God, with the infant Son of God, told everyone they ran into what God had done in their lives and in the lives of all creation. And in so doing, they worshiped God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind, with great joy, spoken of by the angel. The gift of God Almighty had been given, his Son, his only Son, given to all the world. As it's presented in a dramatization of the Nativity by the folks who produced this program called The Chosen, the concluding remarks of the shepherd is, I must go. People need to know. And he runs out. So the shepherds saw. They saw what Father Abraham saw and was glad and rejoiced for, as it was said in John's Gospel. And this is the point of the message. Even as I know the Holy Spirit is preaching to you better words than ever I can ever say or present up here. We have all been aware of the darkness in this world. We have seen things that rob us of our hope and our joy. These four Sundays have been messages to remind us that a great light came into the world and is still here. We are each reminded that we are called to worship God here and everywhere we go. We must approach God with humble hearts and be the bearers of his joy. Be the bearers of this joy into a hurting world. You are the light of the world. I know, because our Lord said that it is so. Now, as a member of the royal priesthood of all believers, I call you to remember your calling. As Saint Teresa of Avalon said, you are the eyes which Jesus looks with compassion on the world. You are the feet with which he walks to do good. You are the hands which with he blesses all the world. He chose to work through you. You are the light of the world. Christ has no body now on earth, but his bride, the church. And you are that body. Go, you saints. You've been equipped. As Peter put it, you are living stones of the ongoing incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As the shepherds then, when the Mass is ended, go like them and share the good news. Go. Imitate the shepherds. God bless us, everyone. Amen.